Well, we've come to the final chapter with our three-part series on living with a vision. Maybe you're listening today and you want God's will for your life. In fact, maybe you are actively pursuing it, but it still eludes you. You want it, but you don't know where to go and you don't know where to look. You don't know how to take that next step. And as Christians, we always should be moving forward. We read in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. And we certainly don't want that. We want a vision. We want a vision of what God desires from our life, if we knew what that was. So today, what do we do? Where do we go? How do we live while we're in search for this plan, God's plan for our life? All this and more on today's episode. I'm Damon Matichera. Let's talk missions. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I'm glad that you've tuned in once again as we look at the Great Commission and our role in it. God has a plan for each of us. God has something that He wants all of us to do. And it's our responsibility to figure out what that is. That is what we call God's will. Understanding God's plan, understanding God's purpose for our life, and then trying our best to fulfill it. But before we get there, just a quick update with our ministry at Hope Zambia. We just finished Bible school out in the village at Chiambukezo and Pingawa Baptist, and it was amazing. For those of you who maybe saw the photos that we posted online, over at Facebook or Instagram, you can see that we just had a good time. It was a time we had a lot of fun. We had some activities and games, but more especially, we were able to spend about 15 hours with these men, just teaching them the Word of God, grounding them in biblical truth. And I think that is where we can really make a lot of headway. And we connected with the men in a way unlike ever before. It probably was our best session ever with the men in the village. And I felt like they got it. You know, sometimes you go out there and you might teach and you kind of scratch your head and you're wondering, I wonder if they actually understood anything that I just taught. But there are times, and this was one of those times when I was teaching and as I taught, you know, you could see that, yeah, they were not getting it, but finally they come to that place where they just light up and they have this recognition all over their face, knowledge. You can tell they've got it and they got the knowledge and they understood it. And it just shows all over their face. They were all smiles and laughing and, you know, they don't really shout amen as much in the culture in the village, but they have this thing where they kind of give you a check mark. And I don't know what it means. I call it the Nike sign. I don't know why. But, you know, when they're happy and when they want to show their approval, like amen, they kind of go check. And so I get a check mark. And but you know what? What's even worth more than a check mark is knowing that they understood these biblical truths and that they're going to take all this knowledge and they're going to teach their own people. And this is really the future of our ministry in the village. We've planted a church. We spent years making disciples and kind of grounding these men. And we've been, you know, just praying over these men, our personal disciples right there at Chiambukezo, going out there week by week. But now they've reached a point where it's their turn to move forward on their own. And we've kind of taken a few steps back from the week by week so that they can step up as they minister on Sundays and on Wednesdays, as they go out evangelizing. As they do the ministry that God has called them to do. And our place, our role has kind of changed in that we are now more of mentors and teachers. And so we're trying to kind of restructure everything where we're coming into the village quarterly to bring them all together and to ground them in biblical doctrine. And so far, it's going great. And as men come and as leaders are trained, and as they're going out and starting churches, we'll visit and we'll support them in the different works that they're doing. But we want them to have the initiative to go and just to do the work. And then we want to partner with them and help them to equip them and to empower them to minister to their own people. So pray for these men, pray for these believers. We had a great time. Again, we're going to be going out there in October for our next Bible school time. We're going to try to do it every 3 months or so and see how that works out. But it was pretty good. All the men were saying, hey, it's too long. October is too far away. We need to have it sooner. And we're like, it's a lot of work. What? October is great. We are going to add another day to it because we had such a good time. And we're just, again, grateful for your prayers, grateful for the work that God has called us to. We're seeing it really grow and expand as well in our city ministry at Hope Chapada. The ministry is really, it's solidifying. And the foundation that we're laying is really just kind of becoming more firm. And disciples are being taught. It's a much newer work than the one in the village, but it's progressing really, really well. And so, again, thank you for partnering with us financially and with your prayers. We can't do anything that we do without you and your involvement. And so today, as we look forward to the topic at hand, we're talking about God's will. More especially, we're talking about what happens when we want God's will, but we don't really know how to get it. We don't know how to reach that place where we know what God wants us to do. We don't know that vision. You know, where there is no vision, the people perish. What is that vision? What is God's plan for your life? What is God's purpose that you were created for, that you are meant to do? You know, in our life, we want predictability. We want a consistent life. We want a life without problems. You know, nothing is more predictable than the ground that you walk on. It really is. You don't really even think about walking a lot of times unless you're walking on really uneven, treacherous ground. But for the most part, when you walk, it is done without thought. When you go up in a building and you're climbing, you know, some stairs, you're not really thinking about putting one foot in front of the other. It's just natural. You just go up the flight of stairs. Have you ever gone down a flight of stairs and you kind of go into like speed mode and without thinking, you just fly down because there's so much uniformity, so much consistency. You know, every step is the exact same that you can just fly without thought because you're used to it. It's normal and it's natural. And that's how we want our life. We want every part of our life to be exactly the same. We want uniformity. We want consistency. We want predictability. We want all of that and more because we don't like change. We don't like things to be out of order. We don't want problems. We don't want to be tripped up. I mean, who wants to fall down a flight of stairs? You know, in Zambia, when you talk about stairs, I have so many stairs in our house because we live on a mountain and or a hill at least. And, you know, they decided that there should be different levels in every room. And so there are stairs everywhere. And every stair is different. The width is different. The length is different. The height of every stair is different. I have, you know, you go up this one set of stairs and it's like 8 inches and the other one is 4 inches. And you're thinking, what were they doing? What was in their mind when they were building this house? Because when I go up those stairs, I have to think about it. I have to put a lot of thought into not falling because there is just no consistency. And, you know, it's actually dangerous. Even with the door frames, they're like lower than they should be. And so I have to constantly lower my head or I'm going to, you know, whack my head every single time. And I did when we first moved here, I was just constantly hitting my head because again, there was no standard. And so everything is different. There's no predictability. And that's kind of how life is. There is really no predictability to life. We want predictability. We want to put ourselves into a bubble. We want to create this false view of life, a false view of a perfect life, of a consistent life. We want to be comfortable in our church. We want to be comfortable with the people that make us comfortable. And when we live that kind of life, we feel good. And we feel that this is the life as it is that we want forever. And we don't want it to change. And we want everything to remain the same. But we know here that life is not perfect. As much as we want that perfect life, as much as we want to live that comfortable life, in fact, we might even go to the extent of creating that perfect life. You say, Damon, what are you talking about? Well, maybe we try to create the perfect environment. We go to the perfect church, the church that makes us comfortable, surrounding ourselves with people that make us comfortable. We want to be around people that do things the way we do things, that believe what we believe, that talk like we talk, that dress like we dress. We create the world in which we want to live. We surround ourselves with the people that we want to be around. And often this is our Christian community. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I think there's a place to come together with other like-minded believers. I mean, that is one of the reasons why we go to church, is for that fellowship. But we have to understand that that cannot be the full extent of our world. We cannot just create four walls around our life and say, this is our life now. We want to be comfortable and we're going to be around people that make us comfortable because that's what God wants for us. Well, God doesn't want that for you. And you say, how do you know, Damon? Well, I know. Because God wants you to reach people with the gospel. And where are those people? I can guarantee you, those people are probably not in this little world, this bubble that you have created. They are outside that bubble. They're waiting for you to leave your bubble, that bubble of comfort, that false reality, and to go into the real world and to live your faith and to show them the love of Christ on an everyday basis with the people that you deal with. And yes, sometimes it gets messy and life is unpredictable. Sometimes you're going to have people in your life that don't like you and maybe even oppose you. But that doesn't change the fact that God wants you to go to the world and to live your faith and to show them a better way. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We know that Jesus is the way. They don't. And so how are we going to help them to gain that understanding if we're not even willing to leave this area of predictable comfort and seclusion that we have built around us? We have these walls that we've built around us because we want to be protected. And rightly so. I mean, turn on the news and tell me what kind of world that we're living in. It's really a strange world. It's an evil and sinful world. I don't blame you. There are times when I just don't want to be around people that I know it's going to be work. It's going to be hard. And maybe they're just different and they're not the same as me. A lot of times we don't want to be around people like that. We just want to relax. Maybe we're tired. Maybe it's been a rough day, a rough week, a rough month, and we're just exhausted. And we're like, just, I want to be around my tribe. I want to be around people that love me. And I know, I get it. There are times when I want that too. But we have to understand that God has called us out. We're not part of the world, but we live in the world. That is our reality. Our reality is that we are to be reaching this world with the gospel. And if your world only consists of the people in your church, then you failed. And you're not living your life the way God wants you to live your life. If your world is so limited to only the people that make you feel good and the people that love you, well, then again, you're not fulfilling God's will. You have to step out of that. And you say, that's the life that I want. But it's not the life that God wants. It's not the life that God wants for you. He doesn't want you to be just secluded from the world. Jesus wants you in the world, but he wants you to be kept from the evil. And so, yes, have a time when you can be with friends. Have a time when you can get that spiritual nourishment from fellowship with like-minded believers. There is definitely a time for that. There is a time where you can have unity within your church and you can be together with Christians as you just celebrate this new life that you have in Christ, where you can grow. I actually think it's really important to take time for that. But what I'm saying right now is that your life cannot only revolve around that. When our life is merely just centered around us living a comfortable life, a predictable life, and all that that entails, well, then we are missing out on God's plan for our life. We're missing out on the purpose for which we were born. Because as believers, our job is to fulfill this ministry of reconciliation. But the only way that we can help these people find peace between God and themselves is to actually go to them and explain who God is. And what better way to show who God is than to show it through our life and through our actions and through our conduct, to show them that we're different and what God has done for us and how we have found peace with God. And when people see that you have, that you're changed and that you have something different in your life, well, they're going to look at you and they're going to say, wow, what is different in your life? What are you doing that is so different that I don't have? And God is going to draw these men and women to himself through your life and through your witness. So don't look for the perfect life. It doesn't exist, okay? You know, it's like we want to go on autopilot and we just want to live and be comfortable and we want to live and just kind of take it easy. And we put our life on autopilot so that we can do that. But when we do that, we're going to miss out on so much. God has so much for you. And when you are in a place where God is using you and God is touching your life as you touch the lives of others, you're going to look back one day and you're going to say, man, I wish I would have done this earlier. I wish I would have gotten more involved earlier. It's such a wonderful feeling knowing that God is using me and that God is using my life to bring others to him. And so look at our life. Let's take a look at our lives. Let's evaluate how we're living. There's nothing wrong with the predictable, with the normal, but let's take that road less traveled. Let's follow Christ, even if it puts us in a place of vulnerability. And yeah, maybe we'll be a little overwhelmed. Maybe we'll be having some times of uncertainty, but we know that God is with us, and we know that he's promised he's never going to leave us. And we know that our time here on earth is short and it's limited. And so let's take our life and do what we can with it while we have it. Let's take what we have right now. This is our time. There have been so many years since the days of Christ and since the apostles have left this earth, every generation has done their part. And now it's our turn. It's our time to go out and to be a witness, to search for God's will. But God's will is not going to take you to a place of seclusion. It's not going to take you to a place where you're isolated. Isolation is not a tactic that God is going to use in witnessing. Okay, but we have to go out. We have to do our part. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And so the Bible says here that we need vision. Are you a believer with a vision? Do you have vision of what God wants you to do in your life? You say, I don't. Well, if you don't feel bad, because there are a lot of people that are in the same place, the same position as you. And so what can you do? Well, meanwhile, while you're looking for vision, do what you know is right. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You can be happy knowing that you're still doing right while you're looking for that vision. Maybe you don't have God's vision for your life and for his purpose for your life, but you can still be happy. You can still be content. You can still have fulfillment knowing that you're doing what God wants you to do. Just use the revelation. Follow the revelation that God has already given you. God has given you a book with his word to guide you, to lead you, to direct you. It's all there for you. And everything he wants to tell you is in that book. And so use it. Do what you know is right with what you have right now. And then as you are using the revelation that you have, God will give you more revelation from his word. If you don't know what God's will is, then do the next best option and do what you know. Do what you've learned. Put into practice what you have learned. You say, well, yeah, well, I'm just staying busy then. I'm still without knowledge of God's will for my life. Maybe so. But the difference is that you are willing, you are searching, you are submitting to God's will. And you are taking God's word and you're saying, I am going to follow God. I'm going to do what I already know until I find out what that exact purpose is that God wants me to do. Follow what you know today from God's word. So it's not that you either are living in God's perfect will or you're just following after your fleshly desires. It's not that at all. I think that sometimes you just need to start walking. And as you move forward, the path becomes clear. A lot of times we want to look at God's will like a map. And we want to have a big picture of the map. We want to see the whole big picture. We want to know where we're going, where we have to turn, how we're going to get there, how long it's going to take, how many minutes from point A to point B. We just want to know everything there is to know about God's plan for us, number one, so we can see if we agree with it. Number two, so that we can know what to expect. Remember we talked about wanting that life of predictability? And so we just want to know. We want that feeling of control. And looking at God's will like a map, it kind of still gives us that sense that we have some control over where we're going, even though we don't. But instead of looking at God's will like a map, look at God's will like a landmark. Because God often works with landmarks, not with roadmaps and road names, street names. You have to already be on the journey to know where you're going. Often we'll go out to the village, or not even the village, it could be anywhere, even in the city, and we'll get lost. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen on occasion. And someone will be giving us directions. Now, in our American mindset, we want to know, okay, how many miles do we have to go? What street do we have to turn left on? We come to the fork in the road and there will be a junction and you go down this route to this street, to this town. And we have this very logistical way of looking at directions. Well, in the village, you'll ask for directions and they'll look at you and they'll say, well, you go down so such and such a ways until you see a big tree. And when you get to the big tree, then you're going to go to the second rock and you just kind of go down. And then there's a place where there used to be a tree and it was cut down. So where there used to be a tree, you take a left. And so there's landmarks. And I remember when I first came to Zambia, this would drive me crazy because I would be in the village and I would be like, take a left by the big tree. I said, I am surrounded by trees. How am I supposed to know what is a big tree and what's not a big tree and what you consider big, I might not consider big? And take a right at the rock? I mean, which rock are we talking about? And this is how I was getting directions all the time. I would be following landmarks. The only way to follow a map that's built on landmarks is to be already on the journey. You find, it's kind of like a scavenger hunt. You find your first clue and you find it and you get really happy and excited and then you get your next clue and you have to go down, but you're never going to get where you need to go unless you're already on the journey. And that's how God's will is. If you haven't already begun your search for God's will and your search for God and your pursuit for Him, and you haven't submitted yourself to His will, and you haven't surrendered yourself to do whatever He should ask. Maybe today He's bringing you to point A and He says, listen, I just want you to be faithful in church. Read your Bible. Take time to pray. Be faithful in church and serve where you can. Maybe that's A and God wants you to submit to that. And you say, okay, well, that's what I know is right for today. So let me do that. So you go to church and you read your Bible and you pray and you're trying to be active where you can. And then maybe after that, you can see where God is leading you. And you feel God telling you, well, maybe you should from here be discipled and learn a little bit more from the Word of God. And so you take that next step and you go to point number B. And you go from just being faithful in church to now becoming a disciple, where you have a mentor and you have a teacher who's guiding you, and you're learning so much about God's word. And as you're learning, and then from this position now, you could clearly see that God wants you to do something and to have a ministry that you're a part of. And so you can see that the next step is to maybe join an existing ministry and to learn what it is to serve other people. And so maybe you go out evangelizing with some friends. And as you do that, you're learning and you're growing, not just in knowledge of God and who he is, and not just in knowledge of who you are and who God wants you to be, but you're growing and you're learning in knowledge of where God is leading you. Because each step of the way, as you have progressed, you have submitted yourself to God's will. You have surrendered yourself. And so God's will essentially is progressive. And as you submit yourself and as you yield yourself to God, he reveals more to you and he guides you and he directs you. It's kind of like saying, hey, go to the big tree, and you find the big tree and then go to the stone. And eventually you find your way to where you're going. So in a way, as you look for God's will, you'll know it when you see it. You know, many people, they don't start the journey to search for God's will until they have all the answers, until they understand the big picture. And I feel sorry for people with this mentality, because people who usually want to wait until they understand it all, they never begin. They never start off. They're still waiting, and they remain in this condition of waiting to understand the big picture before they begin the rest of their life. And they never do anything for God, and they never move forward in their faith, and they never fulfill God's will, because they want to look at God's will like a map, and they want to know it all. They want to understand it all. And again, I think we do that because we want a way to back out. We want to look and to agree. We want to understand so that we can say, well, I don't agree with this point and I don't agree with that point. But are we really submitting to God if we're waiting to see how it's all going to work out before we agree to commit? Listen, just commit. Commit already. We know God's will for today. Just do that. Start with that. Today, just figure out what God's will is for you right now. God wants you to be in the Word of God, right? Do that. God wants you to go to church. Do that. Just start there. Just be a faithful church member and grow in your faith and read the Bible and then see where God leads you. But understand, just like we talked about a few minutes ago, that God's not going to keep you just in church, secluded and isolated. He's not going to keep you in that position. And if that's where you want to be, well, you're never going to find God's will for your life then. You're just going to be stuck. You're going to grow stagnant. And eventually, you're just going to end up doing whatever you want to do. So if you're not yet sure of how the Lord is leading, my advice to you, get busy. Just get busy. Move forward. Serve the Lord and see where it leads you. You know, a lot of people, they say, well, God doesn't have a will. We should just all be busy, and that is God's will. Well, I don't agree necessarily with that. I do think God has a plan for you, a very detailed plan. He has a purpose for you. But while we're searching for that, we should just get busy. We should just be active. But God will eventually lead you to understand what your role is in this life. God will eventually lead you to understand how you can contribute to the body of Christ and to his mission, whether it is locally or around the world. But we are all to be actively searching it out. Get on the path. Start your journey. And don't be intimidated if while on the journey, you're looking down the path and you see that road less traveled. And if God leads you down that road less traveled, embrace it and say, you know what? God is clearly leading me down this road. I'm just going to follow him. I'm just going to trust that he knows best. And yeah, maybe my friends aren't with me right now as I go down this certain path. Maybe I'm kind of leaving that area of familiarity in my life, but I want to follow God. I want to follow Jesus. And while I don't know where that road's going to take me, I'm just going to follow it because I trust him. Because I know he knows best for me. And he wants what's best for me. And if I want to reach my full potential, if I want to be used by God, this is the road that I must take. Maybe it's a lonely road. Maybe it's an isolated road in itself. Not isolated from the world, but maybe isolated from your faith community. As a missionary, we are often isolated. We're in remote areas. And our Christian community is greatly reduced. And the Christian brethren that we are around, we really love that much more. But whatever direction the Lord takes you, you just have to be surrendered to it. And you have to understand that it's for your best. And it's the path that God knows that you can take. And he's meant it for you. He's given it for you. You can do this. And when you've reached that place where fulfilling God's purpose for your life is there, you've reached that place. You understand that plan. You understand how God wants you to live and where God wants you to go and how you can live in the Spirit, how you can have that abundant Christian life. When you finally reach that place, you're going to look back and you're going to say, wow, what a journey. And you're never going to want anything else. You're never going to want to look back. You're never going to want to trade what you have then for what you had in the past. And that predictable, sterile, comfort life that you once lived in is going to seem very distant. And you're not going to want to go back to that. Because where you are right now is where exactly God wants you to be. And so press forward. Find out what God's will is. Discover it. Search for it. But once you know it, surrender yourself to it. Don't fight God's will. We often will fight against him, and we will fight to the bitter end because we want a certain kind of life. We want the life that was promised to us. Maybe the life that was promised to us over the pulpit. We want the life that was promised to us as being an American citizen. We want the American dream. We want the house and the two-car garage and the boat and the friends and the barbecue. We want all of it, the white picket fence. We want it all. But what does God want? Where is God leading you? And are you surrendered to him? Listen, you'll never be happy. You can have the white house. You can have the two-car garage. You can have it all. You can have everything that America has to offer, but you will never be happy if you have it all, but you don't have what God is offering, if you're not following him. And so this is the end of this particular topic as we move forward on the podcast. You know, God's will, it's one of those tricky topics because there's an element of God's will that is the same for all of us, but then there's another element that is quite unique for each of us, quite different. And that is where some of the confusion lies. And so, again, the whole point of this message is based on Proverbs chapter 29:18, where the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Have that vision. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Just follow God. If you don't have the vision, follow God. Follow him. And you're going to be happy. Follow the word of God. Follow what you have right now. Follow that revelation that God has already given to you. And you'll never regret it. You're never going to look back and say, man, I wish I can go back and change. I wish I could never surrender. I wish I had not surrendered as much to God. You're not going to say those words. You're going to want more. You're going to want more of God. You're going to want more of his will. You're going to want God to reveal himself more. And by that point, you're going to be in a place where you're going to be more than willing to surrender your life. And so friends, thank you so much for tuning in once again. Don't forget to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. We are on once a week. You can look us up at the Let's Talk Missions podcast, or maybe follow us online. We have a website at hopezambia.com where you can learn more about our family, more about our ministry, and we want you to be involved. And follow us on our newsletter especially. Put in your email, sign up today so that you can know what it is that we're doing. We have a lot coming up that we're going to be writing about, some really exciting things, some great opportunities. that we want you to be a part of. So thanks for tuning in today. Be sure to check back again weekly for new episodes. So until then, you've been listening to the Let's Talk Missions podcast. I'm Damon Matichero, and we'll see you next week. Take care and God bless.